Garbage Town. We're back, and we're very excited to be here. And it's the week before Thanksgiving.
I love the week before Thanksgiving.
I know you do.
Do you know what happened this week?
No, tell me.
Coast 105 started playing Christmas songs.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
Fireball loves coasting.
Yeah. Fireball, my cat, loves Coast 105, especially during the holiday season.
Oh, you bet he does.
Yeah.
Because when he travels to my house to stay, we put Coast on and he doesn't scream the whole way in the
car.
That's
how we know he likes it. Yeah. He doesn't scream. Yeah.
He loves a good Christmas carol. He really does.
There's so much that's so much wrong that we both know this about my cat.
I know.
It's so sick.
I know. We really have like an issue. We're definitely codependent, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And last week, what was it? Fred was like, we brought up the conversation of, are you guys, do you live together? Well, practically.
Just about.
Yeah. Municipal items.
You have several. I have a neighborhood alert.
Oh, boy.
Again, the alley.
Oh, active. Hellmouth.
Hellmouth. Hellmouth was active this week.
I was there for this one.
Yeah, you were there. And you know what? We did not know.
No, we didn't.
That makes it extra creepy.
You know why? Because we were doing communal nap, which is not weird.
It's not weird, guys. We don't live together.
But sometimes when we're writing at 3 o'clock,
you start burning out.
Yeah. So we like to each take a nap in a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, not weird at all.
Nope. Just take a half an hour.
Well,
when we even set a timer. Yep. And during half hour nap, when we came back, the internet was gone. And it was broke. It was gone.
Right. And we both went through like withdrawal where you're like, what am I going to do? There's no internet.
But it was, you know, we restarted it. We did the thing. We checked all the devices. Nothing.
Yeah.
So then
hours go by.
You know, it's
we were convinced it was the apocalypse.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like the evening and all of a sudden you're like, well, I mean, we could read.
Yeah.
You know, like my roommates were like, what if we go to a coffee shop and download something and then come back?
Yeah.
like super first world problems.
I like how like all the old fashioned answers. I remember you going like, guys, I've got a puzzle. And everyone was like, ew.
Yeah. Ew. At one point I was like, we can turn on the radio. And everyone's like, shut up.
Stop talking. You're the worst.
But anyway, so the next day we call, we get the repair guys to come over.
Yeah.
And they come up and they say, it appears that your internet and power have been cut. Just yours. Somebody has cut your internet and power. And all of a sudden I was like, I didn't know I had so many enemies.
Yeah.
I got like really like, oh man,
oh
you know,
God.
Like who could it be?
It couldn't be the arsonist of Atwater Village.
No,
side.
It's not his MO, right?
No, not at all. It'd be fire.
It'd be fire. Cutting.
Oh, this is a different villain.
Yeah. So then they're like, all right, we're going to move this up so this doesn't happen again. And of course, they're playing into the fact that they're making me think I have a stalker.
Yeah.
Because they're
scared.
Just like, they're like, because this is obviously going to happen again. So we're going to move it so that the intruder can't get you again because clearly you're the target.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that was a little bit of an hour panic and they start moving it around. And then they come back in an hour later and they go, you know, ran into some Comcast guys in the alley.
Oh, boy.
And turns out, some crazy lady hit the whole neighborhood with some pliers.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So this lady like just went down the alley apparently screaming and cut everybody's internet.
What?
And it was amazing. There was like 9 or 10 different internet trucks in our alley.
Yes.
It was like a convention out there. They're all like, you know, like
hanging out,
yucking it up, having like a time fixing everybody's internet.
Yeah. Swapping yarns.
Yeah. Swapping some yarns.
Swapping some internet stories.
But the part about this is both of us were in that apartment napping when she was running down and she attacked the whole neighborhood. And I like to think of myself as neighborhood watch. I like to think that I am watching that alley.
You are. You do have your eye on that alley a lot.
The internet went down on my watch.
This is your fault.
Yeah, I got an enemy now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to meet this woman.
I know, right?
You know she's coming back. They're not wrong.
No, they're not wrong.
I just also like
I'll
the
be
picture
ready.
Of like a crazy cat lady from The Simpsons just screaming down the alley and being like, ah! And like snipping, stopping the clip. And aren't those thick wires? Wouldn't she need like shears?
Well, it's ballsy, right? Like you need like some heavy duty like cutters, I would think.
Yeah, gardening
and
shears.
I just wouldn't be confident that I was cutting the right ones.
How do you not worry about cutting some sort of electrical line? Clearly crazy, didn't care.
Well, they
right?
said she cut the power and the internet to my internet box.
What?
So she did both.
So
I don't
she
know.
She was like a...
So she's like in like rubber boots and like rubber gloves with like giant clips. I don't know. I mean...
She's like, well, what was that?
She knew what she was doing.
What was that movie with Jeremy Renner?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. Jenny, what was the movie with Jeremy Renner?
Zero Dark 30. No.
Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Thank you. It's just like Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You got Hurt Lockered.
Yeah. 100%.
Whoa. Yeah. So next municipal item. It's more of a more feelings this week.
Mm.
just having a lot of feelings. We got some news Monday, which will have a trickle down effect next week's episode. Got some news Monday. Really wasn't feeling great about it. So today I created a playlist. And I was like, this is going to pep me up. And then I realized that I had named the playlist Hope is an Illusion. And then I had put, you know how you can choose a picture for your iTunes playlist?
Yeah.
I picked a skeleton on top of a keyboard. And then I was sent it to Sarah Jean. And I was like, I made a playlist. And she was like, Rutrow, we should probably hang out. I'll see you at podcast.
I see you're doing fine.
Yeah.
I see you're well, Jackie.
I see you're handling this news just fine. That was my municipal item.
I got one more.
Oh, please. I'd like to hear it.
Well, it's not really, it's more of a wish.
Is this a secret?
It's a wish for the universe. Oh, so I finally uploaded the new software update on my iPhone.
Oh boy.
You know, so I got myself the new emojis.
Oh.
You know.
Is that what you were really concerned about?
That's what I was really concerned about.
So I got myself the new emojis.
I got myself the new emojis. This is hot news. You know, and everybody.
Boy, that's a deal.
Yeah, that's a deal. Everybody loves the taco. Everybody loves the burrito. Everybody loves the unicorn. But I still got a beef with it. And this is what I want.
All right.
A less ecstatic turd emoji. Like,
that one's
why
my favorite.
I love happy turd, but I also like
Melanie's
a lot of
here,
times
she's excited. You could say you like happy turd.
The happy turd is my favorite emoji.
Well, it's a good one, but I also feel like one. I need a sad turd or like a blank turd or just a turd, because I sometimes want to send the turd, but I can't send the turd because it's way too happy.
Yeah.
And it's like
it's laughing at the sentiment you're trying to send.
Yeah,
because it's like I'm
it's undermining
you,
me.
Hey, you piece of shit.
Yeah,
is undermined by a smile on the turf.
And how, like, it's just like, I love it, shit.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
The tone. It's like, hey, you piece of shit. Not, yeah. Hey, you piece of shit.
Or it's not like, that's shitty. Because it's just like, that's shitty.
That's so shitty.
I'm so happy that happened to you because it's so shitty. So I just need, like, a less happy turd.
That's fair.
Yeah. So
I think that's a good request.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for municipal items. Mm-hmm. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm going to clap. Useless clap again.
Yay!
All right, rolling.
It's the honest pursuit of a dishonest living.
Don't hug me. Don't touch me. I don't know you.
What we just want to know is, like, do you like yourself?
This place is the fucking worst.
How many times can I be rejected?
You mean, like, in a day? Or in one fucking phone call?
No one here is fine.
I'm going to add that to the list.
Yeah, add it to the list. So Melanie knows the clap, I believe, because she may be our biggest fan.
I am.
She is.
Can we call me that?
Yes. Our number one fan is here. Melanie, do you now go by Augustine Hoffman?
I'm Augustine. I'm still Augustine.
Okay, yeah. Melanie Augustine.
Yes.
So you're maintaining your identity.
My professional identity
you
has
heard it here,
not
Chet.
Changed.
But you're Batwing at home.
Yeah. I actually changed the whole name.
Yeah. At home, you're Batman.
And it's just the little wife. Yeah. Yes. Nice. Legally on the paper now.
Oh, great. By the way, when we're looking at our phones, it's usually for questions. Yeah. And not for, like, not like, here's the money. And then, like, sparring.
Wait, let me really check that text.
Yeah.
I'm a poop.
shit emoji.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, too,
yeah.
I think I'm using the poop emoji in a totally different way than you are.
Oh, really?
How are you using it? I'm definitely using it as, I just took a great shit.
Oh, you're, like, literally using it as a shit.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. Because you're happy.
Yeah.
Offloading the shit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's like, yay, fiber.
Or I'm really saying, like, look on the bright side. Look at this cute poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're
totally different context
for someone else. I did it.
Yeah.
Right in the bowl.
I made it through the shit.
Yeah. Good work.
So it's a different emoji for me.
I love that.
That makes sense.
Using it wrong. So there.
Oops.
Different ways.
I take back my request.
Rescinded. Redacted.
Yeah.
So you work at DreamWorks. Awesomeness TV. DreamWorks Awesome. Dream.
Are we going to do the bio?
Do you want me to do the explaining it? Because no one understands it.
Well, yes, but I think that, should we do 30 second bio first?
You should do the bio first.
Yeah, so we're playing a new game.
New game.
Oh, we're doing a game already?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do, because we want to get to your, we want to swap some yarns. We want to get to your yarns.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do 30 second bio.
Okay.
Put your phone down.
I need to read it.
You're supposed to do it from memory.
No, I was going to read it in 30 seconds.
No, I think you should try and do it from memory.
Because I'm not the good reader. There's no way.
Dude, okay. Honestly, it literally takes 30 seconds to read it.
No, she wrote the 30-second version. I feel like you're cheating.
I'm all a slow reader, right, guys.
Okay, we'll do it.
We're doing 30-second bio. Sarah Jean has to read Melanie's bio in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set up the timer here.
This is the easy one to start with, too.
I know, you did make it easy,
this
but...
This is easing you in.
Considering my speech impediment and slow reading.
Can you do it in the accent?
And the Minnesota accent?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, all right.
30-second bio, Minnesota accent challenge.
Here we go.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Time starts.
Melanie Augustin is a creative executive at the DreamWorks TV and the newest venture for the DreamWorks Animation Awesomeness TV, where she oversees the scripted content for both animation and live action on all of the brand's platforms. You can find DreamWorks TV on the latest content providers Watchable, Go90, and YouTube. The channel has over 1 million subscribers to date. A Chapman University alum and Boston native, Melanie lives in LA with her husband and a sassy cat, Jenga.
Time.
What'd I do?
You did exactly 30.
Shit, yeah.
Exactly 30. That's insane.
And I mean, that was perfect and amazing, and I'm really impressed, but I also was like, it has to be 30 seconds.
You nailed it.
Seriously.
I like that you put in a request immediately.
Yes.
It's so great. So yes, now we know each other through DreamWorks. Melanie was my first boss at DreamWorks.
Ooh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Melanie helped hire me. I still remember the interview. It was with Joey.
I remember that too, actually. Because I remember thinking, this chick is so fucking cool.
I was thinking that about you because Melanie has like the most amazing red hair. And I was like, damn it. And just like everyone else. Everyone's got a story except me. I'm a garbage.
Aww. Yeah. But seriously, I mean, it makes me sound like I'm like, by the end of this interview, you're going to be like, no, she might be a creepy stalker. Oh, I thought we were cool friends, but now this is weird.
The alley on Tuesday with flyers.
I was trying to be cool during that whole story.
How'd they know?
Yeah. I changed my hair color for it. Yeah, I remember that meeting too. Yes, Joey, who we worked with at Awesomeness TV, she brought you in, and I think it was just a general for writing for the kids channel.
Yeah,
and I remember it was one of those ones where I don't remember anything we talked about. Sort of not on purpose, but I was just like, I kind of got her vibe already.
Yeah.
And I want to be friends with her, so I know.
Yeah.
So I know I want to use her.
So you're like, and it's clear. Yeah.
Yeah. This is love. Aww. And I hope she accepts me too. Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a marriage made in heaven.
Perfect.
That Chet should be threatened by. What?
Yeah.
Weird.
What? Weird.
Mm-hmm. I know he's listening.
Yeah.
A little awkward. Chet was actually in the first DreamWorks original content writers room that I was in.
Yeah, so
that you put together.
I did.
So why don't you guys explain DreamWorks and Awesomeness?
Yeah,
first.
Talk about what you guys do in that room because I think this is delightful.
Oh yeah. Well, she makes it delightful. So well, yeah,
tell us about DreamWorks Awesomeness first.
Okay, super quick breakdown is. Awesomeness TV was a company started by Brian Robbins that existed first as a YouTube platform for teenagers and quickly skewed girls. Very quickly, they grew to a million subscribers, and within the first like 2 years, DreamWorks Animation bought them. With that acquisition, they wanted Awesomeness TV to continue making content for their teenager channel and brand, but also start a new channel and a new brand for kids television. And they called that YouTube channel DreamWorks TV, not to be confused with DreamWorks Animation's television department.
Completely different.
Completely different and totally two different parts of the city, too.
Yeah, Glendale and Westside.
So definitely don't end up at the wrong interview place for an interview.
<Uh-oh>.
You'll be so screwed.
Yeah.
Yes, they're totally different. It sounds confusing within our industry, but from a consumer standpoint, it makes sense. If you're watching the television shows, you're looking for King Julian's show on Netflix, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not thinking of the TV department. But we are a YouTube channel that you search for, DreamWorks TV, and that's where we are. Primarily, we're on YouTube, but in the bio, you can hear that we're on other platforms too.
Yeah.
But that kids channel creates a bunch of original content for both animation and live action, and also the shorts with DreamWorks characters.
Yes.
Kung Fu Panda, Shrek and Donkey, King Julian, Puss in Boots,
Poe,
and what's the other one I missed?
Penguins.
We did a little bit of Penguins.
Which film we went to see together last year.
So good.
Wonderful.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful.
They're the best. I love the Penguins. Yeah. So we were originally writing those pieces totally freelance. It was like the first thing I did, my first right. day on the job. My boss was like, great, we're starting the channel in about 6 months. We need 6 months worth of content by then. And uh-oh. Do you know any writers? And I was like, do I? No.
No.
Where do I get a writer?
Hired three of my friends first. It was great.
Yeah.
So we were doing that freelance and I was managing like 50 different writers all over the country.
That's how I came on because I started doing freelance for you.
You were doing freelance and at some point it just became too much to hit the volume we needed. We were shooting at that time we were shooting four in a 4-hour shoot
wow.
episodes and that sounded fast. Yeah. Now in comparison we're doing 6 in a 4-hour shoot.
Wow.
And I went to my boss and I said that we can't keep up this volume doing just the freelance version, and comedy thrives in a room with people and being able to bounce off each other. It's terrible to write comedy in a vacuum.
Sorry guys, there was a man swearing obscenities in the alley and so we had to just take a break.
Take a breather.
Yeah. But at the time we also discussed the amount of obscenities we could use and no one
seems endless.
Boston, so she's really going
to
leave.
So I went, whew, thank God.
Fuck this.
Yeah.
And fuck that guy outside.
Well, ooh, he's going to be our guest next week. So.
This fucking right. retail. No. Yeah. Yeah. That one.
Yeah,
no one in LA likes that one. Anyway, so the volume was just getting too much to do just strictly freelance. So I went to my boss and I pitched him. I was like, what a novel idea that we could bring writers into a room and have them write together.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't understand this. This sounds expensive. Yeah. And so from my freelancers, you know, narrowed it down to the ones that were local and could commit to something a little more full time rather than just on the weekends. And Jackie was one of those guinea pigs.
Yes.
And there was only three people in that room.
Yeah. That was me and you, Chet, who and you married.
Yes.
And
no nepotism
Ryan
involved. None.
No, not at all. Weird how he got that seat.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And Ryan Nagel. Yeah.
Ryan Nagel.
Can we say his name?
Yeah, we can say it.
We can say it as long as we say wonderful things about him.
Yes.
Which
only
we can.
The good. Yes. So
and
we
his
were
wonderful cat puns.
Oh yeah, he loves cat puns.
Oh, who doesn't?
You're the best.
Yeah. Who doesn't love cat puns?
Yeah. Yeah. So you were one of the three that helped sell that room, and that room is still going. So it's a pop up writer's room. So it comes up every now and then, but we need it. I can't imagine doing the job without the writer's room.
Yeah.
And Jackie's one of the people that proved that we needed it.
Yay!
So it's awesome. Yeah.
Yay. So let's talk about. So what do you do for DreamWorks TV? Can you get more specifically? So
yeah.
You're an executive development. Which we've discussed and had people on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But what specifically is a part of your job?
So yeah, more about my job. So it's development and production all at the same time.
Which is unusual.
Yes. And the amount of shows we make in a year, I mean, in comparison, you know, the other people you've had on the show explained development is you come in and you pitch and... You know, at some point they get back to you, and if they love you, they greenlight, they buy it, and then it goes into development to make it better.
Yeah, yeah,
or different.
Yeah,
over years or months, years even, and then it gets at the best stage greenlit into production. Our version for finding original content is people come in with a pitch, and that pitch involves this is how I'm going to make it. And then we're like, wonderful. Not only are we going to buy it, but you're going to go make it. And can we have it in 2 weeks from now?
Oh my God. Okay.
And that's only slight exaggeration.
Yeah.
So I help out with the live action stuff, which is primarily scripted stuff is primarily sketch style for live action. But I oversee mostly original animation and then the DreamWorks shorts, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
So usually, typically I hear pitches in person or through email or on the phone. And it's usually we're looking for people who really have like a vision, like this is their show, this is the story they want to tell, short form, 2 to 5 minutes long each episode.
But 100 episodes of that?
Yeah,
well, that's the goal, right?
Yeah,
well
for,
a lot
for us, we don't need to hit 100 to be in syndication or anything.
Yeah,
that's true. It's for us, we will do a handful of episodes just to make it make economic sense when you put something through a pipeline, and then we sort of see if we like it, see if they like that process the producer does, and then if we, you know, we think it's doing well, then we'll order a handful more. But We've only ordered maybe of our original content, maybe like 20 episodes at most, but that exists on the YouTube channel. And then the nice thing about being in digital is it'll exist forever. So that content can exist in other places and other platforms and find, and will always have an opportunity to find its audience at any point. It's not linear like television is. So that's kind of the nice thing. You don't need to do 100 episodes to make sure that it will always keep going. It can just stay there.
Do you find that it surges, stuff that's been up for a while will surge back and forth in popularity? Is it cyclical at all?
Not, well, some of our things that are slightly around seasons or holidays will pop up. Like our Halloween stuff started getting more search hits, and things like related to our characters, like Kung Fu Panda has a new movie coming out January 29th.
Yeah.
And
I watched the trailer.
So I've noticed some of our Poe episodes are getting some traction again, you know, things
people
like that.
People are searching for him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cool. Or like a couple months ago, they released the storyboards of Chris Farley doing the original voice of Shrek on the internet.
Wow.
And that traffic search surged our Shrek rap video.
Really?
Yeah. So that got a hit on that too.
Nice.
So it comes up randomly. Things will randomly pop up.
Whatever's popular in culture, if it surges again.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So for shows, I'm half kidding, but we are looking for people who really want to make it themselves. But we do work with people who are just writers or just character designers or just storyboard artists.
Yeah.
And then we work with, sometimes we can make a great deal with a production company or pair some other artists together and put a small team together.
Yeah.
But all of it's done out of house. We're looking for people who know people and just want to make great content on small budgets.
Yeah.
But but the trade-off is a lot more creative freedom. So that's my, you know, development side is finding the projects, and then my production side of it is overseeing it through the pipeline. So I give the final notes on scripts. I give the final notes on animatics and the final piece, but notes are a lot less than you know, typical. Like, we're not gonna fight over if the shirt should be red or blue. We're really just making sure the story tracks and that it's appropriate for our channel, obviously.
Yeah.
So sort of the bigger notes is what we focus on.
Now, do you have a side that you prefer? Do you prefer the development or the production?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like? No, not yet. I love both. And that's kind of what I love about my job, is that I get to experience both.
Yeah.
My job before that, I was just development and that was in features too. And so that was super slow going. And part of why I knew digital seemed like it was going to be a better fit for me. So
the pace is much better.
Faster,
yeah, that's so true.
And you learn quicker.
It is really nice too, as a writer, to do something and then see it pop up like in 4 months rather than like 4 years or 10 years. Jenny was just discussing that, like, her husband sold something, what was it, 10 years later?
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, what? So I get that pace.
Yeah,
there's something really satisfying about that. All right, so you're from Boston.
Yes.
Yes. So do you want to talk about how you got here? Should we do...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's your first day.
First day in LA.
Mine might be boring.
No, let's hear it.
So I grew up in Boston, but I went to school... For my first year of college, I went to school in New York, and that's actually where I met my husband. But I knew I hated the school, and I knew I wanted to transfer. I always knew I was going to be in film and television. I started as a theater major. That'll come up later.
Yes, I want to talk about it.
That'll be related later. So, yeah, I went to a theater arts high school too. I was a theater major since I was like 13.
You were a kid?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Name some roles.
Some rules. Yes, and no. Yeah, I was a first soprano singer.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. No, let's hear some roles. What were some of your
hits? Well, I was Dolly in Hello Dolly.
Whoa. That's a big win.
That's a great one. Yeah. My favorite one was Mary Warren in The Crucible.
Nice.
I played Rapunzel in Into the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
This was the only one that could hit the nose. Everyone from my hometown's gonna be so mad I said that.
You're like,
because they're all listening.
Yeah. Local celebrity.
Because I'm gonna write home about
this. And they'll all be like, oh yeah, we listened.
Yeah.
Over Christmas. Yeah, we heard it.
Yeah, we heard you.
That's fine.
Put us all down.
You know what? I appreciate that you were the lead, because I was never the lead. I was always like a living rock, number four. In the background.
I would audition, and then I'd check, you know, they'd post the list.
Yeah,
and I'd check the list, and I'd be cast as the stage manager or like the assistant director. I was like, that isn't even a part.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's a great role.
No. Yeah. I think every role I had in high school, other than like some sort of like tree or whatever, it was male. And then I was cast as like the only girl who could play male. Oh. So I have a very masculine face, apparently.
Oh, what a progressive town you're from. No.
Obviously. Yeah. That's what it was. It couldn't possibly be my problems.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are great roles. Do you have any more that you love?
Oh, God, I'm trying to think. I think those are like the highlights. Some of the most important shows I was part of. We got to do one of the first regional productions of Parade. I don't know if you guys know Parade. It's written by Jason Robert Brown, and it's about turn of the 20th century in Georgia. Oh, man, I'm not going to tell that story well. But we'll say cool. Jason Robert Brown and Parade, and I'm from a predominantly Jewish town, and that musical is about sort of racial tensions with different religions, and it's based on a true story. So it was really important. I was just in the ensemble for that one, but it was a really important cast and project to be a part of. So I really loved that one.
That's awesome.
That was a great one. Anyway, so I was
in New York.
So yeah,
you're in New York.
So I was in theater. I knew I was going to be in film and television, and I hated the school I went to. It was Hofstra University.
That's like the ultimate theater kid university. Oh my god.
Yeah, so
you met Chet there?
I met Chet there on my very first
theater kid?
No, he was film school. He was film kid there.
My god.
It was my very first day of school that I met him there too. So it was love at first sight. No, so cheesy. But
what happened?
Do you want to know that story?
Yeah, I want to know.
Story,
what happened.
Yeah.
My birthday is September 1st. It's the very first day of school. Yeah. I was a freshman and he was a senior, and it was the first day of school. Everyone's coming.
Ships passing in the night.
So frisky. Yeah. We were in the same dorm, and I had just come back from dinner with my parents. They were dropping me off and saying goodbye forever. I wasn't that attached. I was excited,
I'm all set.
I was like getting into my PJs, and you know, my roommates weren't there. They were out like meeting their, you know, with their freshman people. They were just meeting, and him and his friends were going around, and he won't say it out loud, but this is their way of picking up chicks.
I was gonna say perving on freshmen.
They didn't mean the freshmen. This was supposed to be this was a mixed dorm of all sorts of returning students.
This was a chick expedition.
This was definitely a chick expedition. Uh-huh. Yes.
Chick expedition.
To go around and say hi to everyone. Just knock on their dorm, and they had a guitar just in case anybody wanted to play a song. Say hello.
The guitar?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it was a theater school.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like all of my nightmares.
That's a common greeting in theater school.
It's a common greeting. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
The RA on our floor was like, it's this girl's birthday in room 603. You should go and say hi to her.
Nice.
She'll love that. And they're like, okay, all right. So lucky for them, I was the one that opened the door, because when they knocked on the door and I opened it, they immediately started singing happy birthday. So I opened the door, and and there were three strange men standing there singing happy birthday to me, and they don't even know my name yet. And so they go, happy birthday. And they all point to me. Yeah. They go, Melanie? Yay! And then we're all chatting and shooting the shit, and then they're like, you should come by our dorm and hang out. We have a deer head. And that was their test. That was their test.
Oh my god.
Chet will say too, like they were saying right up before that door too, they were saying, stop mentioning the deer head. It's not cool.
Stupid.
It's really weird.
Be cool. God.
Yeah. And Chet was like, no.
Hot. She's totally not gonna go
no,
for
right?
it.
No, right? Yeah. And I laughed.
The guitar is not a deterrent. Yeah.
But I laughed, and so immediately Chet was like, this chick is for me.
Chet was like, I'm gonna lock it down.
Yep. And that was it. We consummated it right there and then.
Wow. Amazing.
Deerhead did it for
me. Wonderful story of love.
But that literally was my first day of school, and
God. That's a very romantic story.
Isn't that cute? And then we followed up. I hung out with them for a couple of times, and then we went on our first date to see Across the Universe, Beatles. Beatles movie. And then we were dating after that.
Oh my god.
So I wanted to transfer. He was graduating. So 9 months later.
Yeah.
He's graduating. This is serious. To me, it was like, I'm gonna transfer schools to Southern California. That's where I'm gonna end up anyway. So I ended up at Chapman University. It was a great school. But
why did you leave? Why did you hate it?
It was not the school I wanted to end up at in the first place.
Ah, okay.
So I kinda went into it with a grudge. I was like,
a little bit.
I didn't want to be here in the first place. This isn't what I where I wanted to be. And
yeah.
The people were kind of there. Some of them were nice. Some of them were great.
Feel a lot
that
of them
way
were
about
weird. Whole Foods.
Yeah.
a lot of them were Guidos.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just not an environment for me. And if I was going to be in California anyway, like in the warm weather, it was like transfer now.
Yeah. I like how you're like, it's an environment not for me. And you go Whole Foods. And in my mind, I go like every bar in the East Side. I don't belong there. There's a guy in a vest doing like all kinds of weird shit with mason jars.
Yeah.
I'm like, is he using a rattle or is that my drink? I don't know.
I don't understand.
I'm nervous. So you ended up in Chapman.
So I ended up in Chapman.
And Chet's out here.
So Chet does a road trip to get out here. It takes him a month. Oh, wow. I fly. I took a plane. One-way ticket.
Oh, my God.
Got my little suitcase.
Was that exciting?
Oh, yeah. I packed up everything at my house, like in little boxes, and put notes to my parents about what to and when to ship.
What order?
I was very organized.
that's all like making sense to me now, because also one time she was like, let me just get this draft of your script. And there were like 15 folders leading to that draft.
Yes.
Under like character by script by revision by whether it's like working, it's insane. If you think I'm bad, Sarah,
my boss hates
it. Anything like this?
I put things in buckets.
You sort by feelings.
I sort by feelings in buckets.
When Ryan gets her stuff to edit, I'll be like, today I was thinking I'd sort by colors.
Yeah,
and he's like, what?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wrote these in Riddle.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
So I could find it later.
Yeah. That's the way my mind was working that day. Will it work that way tomorrow? No.
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember why.
Yeah. So you're super organized.
Yeah.
You basically serial killer your boxes.
Yes. My whole life into shipping. Little boxes.
Oh, good.
Just from my parents were like, oh, joy, we get to pay for the UPS shipping of this.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They're sweet. My parents are awesome.
Aww.
So my first day was at the airport, and Chet picked me up, and he had roses for me.
God,
and
what is this romance?
So sweet.
I get in a cab that smells like urine. It's, please don't overcharge me.
But it was sort of like rose tinted glasses too, because he had gotten an apartment in Pasadena, and it was nice. It was a nice little condo with this great roommate he had from high school who was moving out to California as well.
And then you realize Pasadena is 5 hours from everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Chapman.
Chapman.
And it's probably still to date the most expensive rent we've ever paid.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you don't know any better.
Yeah, you don't. Like, he just went on Craigslist and was like,
expensive.
That and looks safe. Like, and and what's 20 miles? 20 minutes? No.
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 Oh, yeah.
No.
Right.
Did you have the thing when you moved here where because the landscape's different, you can't tell if you're in a bad neighborhood or not? Because everything kind of looks like a strip club. And so you're like, that strip club, that could be an amazing restaurant, or that could be a super shitty restaurant. I don't really know because they look the same from the outside.
Right. And but, all like the suburban neighborhoods, the apartment style ones, like even on the west side in particular, Silver Lake is like this too. They're all kind of like a little bit grubby, but you're like, oh, maybe that's chic. Like,
yeah,
maybe
I definitely get that on this side of the mountains, but in the valley you quickly can tell.
You can tell. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. When I first looked, I was like looking in Hollywood and the west side.
Yeah.
Silver Lake,
yeah.
And I was like, this all looks the same. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely looks realistic.
Yeah. My mom, when she was out here, was locking doors in Beverly Hills, being like, this is a bad place. And like hitting the automatic locks.
Yeah. We were, my mom once, we were at like a Chevy's across from the exit at Burbank.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, watch my purse while I go to the bathroom. And I was like, no one's going to snatch your purse. In this bad neighborhood, which is across from the IKEA, but also inside a Chevy's.
Yeah.
It was like a weird choice. I just don't see a guy coming in and be like, whoa, like a guy dressed like Hamburglar.
That's what they want you to
think.
Ooh,
yeah, see, you're right. You never know. There are so many crazies out here. Mm-hmm. That's the ones that are going to get you.
Internet cutting in the alley.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. So Chet picks you up. You go to this apartment in Pasadena.
Yeah. So that was first day. I think we like went to Pie and Burger, which is still our favorite place. And that's where we got our pie for our wedding.
Yay.
So I don't remember too much else from it. It was like, it was in July, so there wasn't much to do. His job wasn't starting till August.
Oh.
His first job was a PA on a wonderful sitcom for Lifetime.
Oh.
Can't say. you'll read about it in Will's book.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for you to meet Will.
Excellent.
Very excited for him to be on this show.
Oh, I'm excited too. Now, you guys, I wanted to say you got married at the Henson Studios.
Yes, we got married at the Jim Henson Studios.
Super exciting.
In Hollywood, California. It was wonderful.
A Muppet did not officiate.
No, no. Oh. Chet said no to that.
Really?
I'm going to throw him under the bus for that.
What? That's an option? Right.
Also, how do you get married, Chet, at Henson Studios and not have a Muppet officiate?
Who would you have picked?
He's going to hate the whole thing with the bed shitting on me.
Also, I want to know if Chet is short for something. That's a question on my mind.
Nope. Mm.
It's just Chet.
It's just Chet. Even better, Chet, with one T, was a friend in college who was the life of the party. And they thought, why don't we just add an extra T to it to make his life more miserable? When he explains for the umpteenth time that Chet is his middle name.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. What's his first name?
Robert.
Oh, okay. I get Chet now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, no, but we got a rainbow song in there.
We got the rainbow song.
Yeah, we got the rainbow connection in there into the ceremony, so it was nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, if you had been able to have a Muppet officiate, which one would you have got?
That's a good question.
Sam Eagle.
I would have wanted the little blue caterpillar guy from Labyrinth.
Oh, he's a good one.
Oh, that's a good
Henson
one.
Henson made the Labyrinth puppets, too. Man, it's so fucking cool in there. They've got all the puppets and the robots on display. Like, they've got the Where the Wild Things Are head.
Whoa.
There.
Get inside awesome. There.
You know, how do I get into the Wonka factory? Yeah.
The big secret is it's not that secretive over there. They're very friendly and very open.
Did you have to climb hurdles to get a stage there?
Anyone can get married at the Jim Henson Studio.
What?
Maybe you don't want that in there.
I've never wanted to get married more.
Just find for that reason.
Can you marry a Muppet?
Sam Eagle.
We did. I did have a condition for the wedding. I was like, can we please not mention the Kermit and Miss Piggy divorce? Because that's a downer for a wedding. That's a downer.
How are you feeling about that show?
It's okay. You know,
there's
been
a couple of good one-liners.
Yeah. And my friend was one of the puppets for the pilot too.
Ooh. Oh my God!
Yeah,
awesome.
All puppet people know each other.
Yeah,
it's a small world.
It's a very, very small world. Yeah,
it's a small group.
Oh yeah.
How do you get into that small group?
There. Well, the friends I know are from animation. I mean, I worked at Paramount Animation.
Okay.
And that was my first sort of like light bulb moment of animation. That's my animation origin story I want to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cute.
So let's skip Chapman.
I did it early.
Okay.
Well, I can tell the real quick part is I went as a communications major so I could graduate early and on time and keep all my credits.
Oh, that's
because I was like, I'm ready to grow up and screw the school stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in the film school, but I wouldn't graduate on time if I did. So instead, I took photography as a minor and told everyone I could be their set photographer if they'd let me on their sets.
Sweet.
Nice.
And then
that's
made friends with a bunch of people in the film school, and they're like, you're cool, we'll add you onto the school, the newsletter for jobs and internships.
Great.
And I was like, awesome. And then I got him, and I applied to this internship that I did the last summer before I graduated. Did it for that summer and that fall, and they don't know that I didn't get any credit for it.
Oh my God.
We're working for free, as most interns do.
Mm-hmm. We only take, as you know, unpaid gigs. We are interns for life.
It's
welcome to the club.
Yes.
It's a preference. We make the
choice. It's the only way to join Garbage Town.
The only way to join Garbage Town is to be not paid appropriately for what you do.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So you're aware.
So so I knew this was the way to Hollywood.
Yes.
I knew I was on
Hollywood
the right track.
Hollywood seduced you and you knew you were on your way.
Yes. I knew I was doing something right. So I interned at this small production company, and I was there for a couple of years. Through that is how I learned about drinks.
Ew.
Fancy drinks that assistants do.
I hated those. Do you like them?
They're exhausting.
After you work a 12-hour day, the last thing you want to do is drive 40 minutes to a fucking bar midtown, sit and have a drink, and then like talk about yourself and like be excited about
conversation. Do the first date thing, but there's no sex at the end of this date. Mm-hmm. No.
And at the end, it's like, let's exchange emails. That's
and
so
like,
fun.
Yeah, I'll keep you in mind for things.
I'm going to fake hug you. Which, as you know, is my pet peeve.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is so fun. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
I don't know you. We just had a first date.
Yeah. Come on, please.
Relax.
Yeah.
You gotta take me in a second.
Oh, the worst. Oh, and I always feel too.
I'm so glad that you said that they're worse, because everyone's like, it's so fun. No, it's not.
No, I hate them.
Worse.
Especially because I I haven't been on a date ever.
You were like romanced in your doorway. Yeah. Then picked you up with flowers at the airport when you arrived in LA.
So every time I go on a drinks date with a person that I'm pretty sure is straight, always feel the need to mention, that I've got the boyfriend or now that I'm married, or bring out the ring, just in case.
Slash the blip.
They think that this could, like, they could.
Is this a date?
This could be a two-way. Yeah. That they're like, can I kill two birds with one stone here? And I'm like, no. This is definitely, and it's not bad. Which is like the worst. Anyway.
Yeah.
But one of them actually paid off. It's a drink success story.
Yeah.
I went to drinks with the she was the current assistant at the time, the assistant to the VP, one of the VPs in the animation department. And we got drinks and
at Paramount? Is this the one?
She was at Paramount. Yeah.
Okay.
And we got drinks and I didn't think anything of it. But then a couple weeks later, she emailed me and said she was moving over to the live action side. Thought I'd be great to take her place.
Yeah.
And
awesome.
I was like, oh, yes, please. And I remember even thinking, I don't know anything about animation. Hopefully that doesn't matter. I'll fake it.
Yeah. I've done that before.
I was like, I like Pixar.
This is it. Yeah. I like Pixar. Yeah.
And so we like had an official assistant to assistant interview and she was like, you're great. This is going to be great. And then I met the boss and we really hit it off and I got the job and I was like, this is great. It was awesome. That was like stars in my eyes. I was like, I'm on the lot. I like have an ID. It says Paramount.
Was that your this is it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I started parking in the lot there. I would walk by like stage 4 and stage 3 and see Glee shooting. And I was like, this is it. This is my way. Yeah. And it was great.
I love Paramount. I worked at Paramount too when I worked at Nickelodeon. Oh, it was it's fucking best.
Yeah. I still get a kick out of any lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they've all got so much history and they're so cool. And the parties. And I was like, this is real, like Hollywood.
We don't know about the parties.
No. We're never invited to the parties.
You're not invited to them. You don't know about them.
No. We asked for one this year in our new contract.
We're hoping.
I'm waiting on that invite.
Yeah, you put it in there. Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yeah.
So
no, we really did that.
We're waiting for the best party, and I still think that we got fleeced.
Yeah.
We got the shittiest party.
Yeah.
So, yes, you're at Paramount.
So I was there.
You fall in love with animation.
I do. It was seriously like a light bulb for me. I was like, my boss is an incredible teacher and mentor, and she's so smart, and she's so freaking good at her job.
Yeah.
And I'm still in touch with her now, and she's like a mentor to me now. We talk all the time, and she was great. She opened up my eyes to everything about storytelling and animation, and it's like, why does it need to be animated, and how to give notes, and all of it. And it was just inherently, and this is like my favorite thing, like it was like I learned a dirty secret about Hollywood. There's there's a wonderful part of Garbage Town. It's in the plastic animation container, and you open it and it's clean inside.
Oh my god.
And it's called animation.
Because Alex Kerwin was so gentle.
Yep.
And wonderful.
Yep.
And as you know, I was trying to stir up trouble.
You
couldn't do it because
you can't.
He was wonderful. And the whole time he had like Halloween cookies for us. And he was just like, there's not really fights.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that it wasn't even there's not fights. He didn't understand the question.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
You're like, so sometimes do you not like each other and fight? And he's like, I don't understand.
I remember listening and I was like, he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, sometimes is it competitive? And he's just like, well, we try to help each other the best way we can.
That's the thing. It's so inherently collaborative there. Yeah. And there really are. There are some egos because there's some people that have jumped to the top and are the few names that are out there
everywhere. There are people like that.
Mm-hmm. But it really takes a village to make a piece of animation, to make a story. You have to.
Yeah, you can't be the one person who does it all. Like it would be easy for us. If we really wanted to, we could write something tonight, go out and shoot it tomorrow on an iPhone. Right.
Yeah. And the thing about that, too, is like if you wanted to shoot that on your iPhone, you'd be like, I've got this prop and here's this person and that's what they look like.
Yeah.
But in animation you have to be like, well, what kind of chair is it? Mm-hmm. It could be any chair. And you gotta set rules
what's
for this.
What's the funniest
world.
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, which of these chairs is the funniest?
Or what's the saddest chair? You know? So it's inherently more creative, more collaborative, and there's so many steps along the way because you really, it's so much more expensive to fuck it up later on.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't just fix it in post.
Yeah. Can we talk about a fuck up? Have you ever had a fuck up?
Think about that.
You want to come back to it?
Yeah, we can come back to it, but I don't think I got one.
Damn it. Yeah. See, animation is the best. Yeah. What are we doing in
live action? Well, I can say what was really cool. So I got to be part of seeing the tail end of production of SpongeBob, the SpongeBob 2 movie. Yeah. So it was really cool for me to see. It was like when I was at that small production company, one thing got made while I was there.
Oh.
And I was there for 3 years. And that thing that got made was like a documentary, so it didn't take too much to, they were shooting as they were going, you know, so it was getting cut all the time. Anyway, so SpongeBob was really like the first like thing I got to see get completed, and I got to see it in the theaters later, and I was really sad about the song, like about a bunch of the songs they cut, and
because you're invested in them.
Yeah, and some of the scenes I'd seen get made but then I guess clearly got cut, so and I was like, so it's like, that's expensive.
That's really expensive.
Cut at that stage. So it must have been a big thing for them to have cut it when it was that far along.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you do things called like animatics.
Right.
Which are like your script in visual form. Since
almost like a storyboard?
Yes, yes. Ah. It's the storyboards put together.
Yeah.
In moving pictures.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Moving storyboards.
Okay.
It makes it sound so weird.
No, that's awesome.
But yeah, moving storyboards is what animatics are, and that's pretty much where you get the best to tinker around, move pieces around, and that's where you make your edits. So in animation, it's all set up so that you really can't fuck it up later on.
Now, we talked about that with Alex too. Do you guys ship it overseas to animators? Does it come back, or are your animators here? Because that was a concern he was talking about.
It's a big thing
overseas.
Now. So our original stuff is made wherever our producers are. So it's mostly within the United States. I think we had one producer who is in England.
Okay.
For all our original stuff, the DreamWorks character shorts we use CG.
You do. Okay.
They are in CG, and the way we do that is to use motion capture to help streamline it, and that the small amount, not small, but the animation cleanup that happens on it is in India.
Okay.
Just like the rest of the animation's work.
So is that to save money?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And for us to be able to save money, but also work on the timeline we work on for us, because it's unheard of how fast we turn around that CG animation.
That is really fast. Mm-hmm.
An episode is from shoot date to final delivery to us is about 2 months.
That's amazing. Wow.
It's CG. It looks like the movies.
Well, it's so
it looks
different.
Incredible.
It does look really good. What did Alex say? 104, a year and 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Way different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So also, I would imagine there's not even like notes turn around as fast, like fix this.
Yeah,
fix this.
Yeah. And it's like only the major things, you know?
Yeah.
You have to really focus on what really matters.
So you really have to get it right going in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have as much room even. I'm sure he doesn't have much room, but you don't even have as much room as that. It's like, we got to know what we want right away.
Yeah.
Which is also why I think sometimes it'll get frustrating, because as a writer, I'll be like, why am I being noted to death? I'm like, what would he sing before like the or a? And it's like, because all of that has to be perfect before it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's very interesting. So do you have, did I cut you off? Because I was going to say, do you have a Hollywood story? But did I cut you off mid idea just now?
I think so. I was trying to get
Animatics.
How I got to Paramount.
Back to Paramount.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, so you're at Paramount.
So Paramount is where the short version of the story is, where I was like, yes.
This is
animation
this
is where I want to be. Like, you know, I was in theater, and I was at a film production company, and Hollywood's a big place, and I don't know where my role is in it. I know I want to be a producer. But animation, I want to do animation, and I want to do comedy. And this is awesome. And then,
did you specifically want to do children's animation, or did you want to do all animation?
I would even say still now, like, just any animation is great for me. A lot of animation is in the kids demo, so that's where you end up most of the time anyway.
Right. Only want to do TV, or do you want to get to movies someday?
So that's where, at Paramount Animation, it's features, and I was there for the feature world.
So you were trained in features.
Yeah, so I was learning the feature side of it, and I was only there for a year, and I was like, not for me. No, I don't think I could handle this. This is long. This is agonizing. Taking that long for something to get made allows for a lot of politics.
Oh, yeah.
Inherently.
Well, it's just terrible in films. But
Of course. Like, that's classic.
Yours has to be, like, I imagine, like, nitpicking to death.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So I could see that and was like, nope. that's not for me. Yeah. And so when the opportunity came up to go to Awesomeness TV, I was like, that sounds right. That sounds like a great place
content
for me.
Because
I had other options.
Like, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I had other options, but I knew Awesomeness TV sounds like
that was the place
a very
be.
Scary and great bet.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you're saying about it being fast. So are you of the sort of story ilk of... There is a point where a story is finished, because nothing drives me more nuts than meeting writers that are like, the story is never really finished, is it?
What?
Yes, sometimes it's fucking finished.
No, it's
sometimes
done.
It's on the TV screen, and there's a point where it's like, we are done now.
I get frustrated because that story is so far done, it does not need a sequel. Don't give it a sequel.
But we're going to make one like, out of it anyway.
Like My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
too. Oh, my God. I was just going to mention that one. That trailer is infuriating.
That's right?
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh. I thought that was a joke. I didn't think that was real.
No, that's for real. That was in my mind.
Right? Ugh. Right?
Yeah. What?
We're like this.
And
like
also... The mom, okay, Nina Vardalos' mom, what happened to her face?
Oh my God, right?
Ruh-roh.
What?
Oh Ruh-roh. Boy.
I don't understand it.
Dinosaur in a wind tunnel.
I feel like I have to look it up now.
You need to watch this now.
It's so bad.
We'll take a break for you.
Yeah, you should watch it.
Hold, please.
Yeah, but things like that. Oh yeah, I think stories can't have endings. Yeah. All I do, because especially the DreamWorks shorts are so short, and you know, because you write them, we need a button.
Yeah.
It needs an ending.
It needs an ending, and the button is so... But what I like about that is I don't mind there are a ton of notes if it's like, nail them now, and then you get one or two rounds of that rather than 14 rounds
of
endless notes.
Yeah. So you're also not going to be like, actually, could this be a half hour? Yeah. Actually, maybe an hour.
Although I did
actually
do that too.
Web series.
No, but we had a pilot that we've been this pilot we've been working on that you know about for like 2 years, where it was like a half hour for a year, and it was like, you know, what would be so great?
A Bible.
Yeah. Oh, great, a Bible. Okay, 50 pages later.
Yeah.
You know, it would be so great if this was a 1 hour pilot. And we were just like, you do that thing where you're like, okay, you can't see it right now, but my knuckles are white and I'm not even gripping
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm like, and you're like a lowly chimney sweep. So you go,
yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that was my other municipal item.
Yeah.
As of this week, I've decided that I'm no longer a chimney sweep in anyone's eyes. Fuck this town.
Jackie's retiring.
I'm retiring the chimney
as a sweep.
Because
yes,
okay, we're gonna get into this.
Okay.
Okay.
You need to see yourself a certain way in order to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And I realized that as long as I saw myself as not on the same level of everyone as everyone else, I was going to feel badly about being a place, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this terribly. How should I say this?
It's a seat at the table.
You deserve a seat at the table, and it's yours. Yes. Like if you don't think you deserve it, fake it to make it.
Oh my God, right?
Fake it to make it.
Yeah.
We were at a table this week at a read. We took a seat at the table, and I had a sort of like quiet whisper meltdown to Sarah Jean, where I was like, we shouldn't be here. The table's going to be full. We should sit in the back row where the assistants sit. And she was like, we're staying at the fucking table.
Good. Good.
And we did.
Yes.
And I was like, oh yeah, I'm not a sweep anymore. And no one, and only I see myself as a sweep. There it is.
Yeah.
And when I stop seeing myself as a sweep, then I'm not. So that was a super long story to say. Stay at the table.
Not a sweep anymore.
You have no idea how much that resonates with me right now. No, it's so true.
At the table?
No, well, it's just like that feeling, and I feel like it's maybe I'm overgeneralizing, but it's a woman thing. Like,
that's such a problem. Yeah, too.
It is. Of it like is. That, I really deserve this.
Well, part of me is like, maybe somebody else needs a seat.
It's
you
like,
know?
Why does someone... No, I need this seat.
I need the seat. Mm-hmm. Well, part of me was like, we got here first, and I had a sandwich, so I was like, I'm not eating my sandwich without a table.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I'm tired, and these seats are nice, and the back row is just chairs.
Yeah.
And I want the nice seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun. Yeah. It was a really fun read, but like, this is, again, all going on in our own minds.
Yeah,
nobody
of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Everybody's
nobody asked us
nice.
To leave. Nobody said we couldn't have a sandwich.
But that's like the fucked up part of Garbage Town, right?
Yeah.
In your mind, you're like, I don't deserve to be here. And it's like, why do you think that?
Yeah.
You're sitting here because you deserve to be here.
Have you ever like get invited to a wedding and then you get to the door and you hand them the invitation and go, I don't deserve to be here.
No.
Like somebody asked asked you to be there. You said you'd be there. You showed
up.
You don't just like hand them your present and say like, I don't deserve any cake. I gotta go.
I gotta go. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm gonna wait in the car.
Oh yeah. All the time. Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. I was gonna say too, like, I feel like not struggle, but like been realizing and trying to learn about myself too, about what it means to be in development. Because even though we're moving fast and we're making content all the time, like, that means that I'm learning from my successes and failures very fast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's scary. And it made me think so much about Alex when you had Alex on.
She's so great. We saw her this week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Just like, how do you know if you're doing anything right when you're in development for that long? How do you know if you're good? The things you think are great are failing at the box office, for example, for her, or for me, like, doesn't do well on YouTube. I'm like, zero views.
Well, and I would imagine because you have in a pipeline like things every week, it's like if one doesn't do well, you're like, oh shit, I have another one in 2 days.
Yeah,
I have one in 3 months that I can course correct.
No, exactly. This I've got right well now. I'm like, well, I'm I already made the order of 6 episodes, so and they already all are in animation because we approved all the scripts at once. So here we go.
Crap.
Yeah. So it really, you know, I'm learning to just, you know, you learn from it fast and move on and apply it to the next thing.
Yeah.
But it's hard, like, to sort of wrap my head around that too. Like, because when you get like a slew of them, you're like, I go into a depression and like hide, like Alex was saying. Like,
you start to be like, is my taste right?
Yeah, you
right?
question your judgment.
I'm like,
question your judgment.
And I'm like, am I doing this right? Did I give the wrong note? And even more, like, I'm all over the place right now. But
no,
like,
this is all relevant.
Every project is my child. Like, it's mine. Like, when I give notes too, I feel like I'm giving notes to myself, like, that it was hours that needs to work and get better. And so, and
you're
even like,
invested.
Yeah, when my boss gives me note, like, when I show the stuff to him and he gives notes and says like, that didn't work, or that, you know, he rarely says it works. I mean,
I know this gentleman.
No, when it works, he doesn't say, he just goes, yes, it's great, like, move on.
It's not a compliment sandwich type.
Definitely
it's
not.
It's just if the non-comment means you did it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So it's either good, or it's like, yeah, get it up. What are you waiting for?
It's not even a, that's funny. It's just, okay.
Yep. That's him.
To be fair, Where Panda was a thing. Yes.
Inside joke.
Yes.
If it's like, it's not working, like, I feel it. Like, I'm like, oh, I failed that moment in that script or in that piece. Like, I feel it, not just the creator. I feel like I'm part of that team. And so when things don't work, like, I take it personally, but like, because then I'm investing more to make it better too. So like,
I think it's interesting,
really important to me,
how and when people get that information, right? So like, if I have a screening and the screening doesn't go well, you know, at that moment, the screening doesn't go well. But then, like, a different screening, you can get a different reaction. With online content, you're really looking at likes and views.
Well, we're looking at all types of analytics.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming. There's a whole department for it at Awesomeness.
Yeah.
So that's always something I always have to explain to our creators when they're watching the view count. It's not just the views. And it's so much. It's if when they watch the video, how much of it did they watch? When did they click away? What did they click when they clicked away? Did they click subscribe? Did they click unsubscribe? What device are they using? Did they comment? Did they show it to their friends? All of that.
Yeah.
It feels like election night. Like, you're like in
Oh
my God.
Watching the numbers
every day. For every time I put something up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hooray for Garbage Town is produced by the one and only Jenny Josephson of Infinite Gain Productions in a little studio above a butcher shop in LA.
All of the episodes are available at hoorayforgarbagetown.com and iTunes.
You can also email us your best Garbage Town stories at hoorayforgarbagetown@gmail.com.
And if you want more Infinite Gain podcasts, start with Tell It Anyway, available at iTunes.
Garbage Town.
For the garbage people,
by the garbage people.